It is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. So it also is the feast day of the seven holy brothers, the martyrs for the faith. So the second oration, secret and post communion, that we pray Mass today, you find your missals on their feast day on July 10th. There will be Mass this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. There will be Mass on those days at 8 a.m. at the school. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 8 a.m. Mass at school. And on Thursday evening, there will be the 11 p.m. Holy Hour at school with confessions. There will be no scheduled Mass on Thursday morning, but there will be Holy Hour at school at this Thursday, 11 p.m. With confessions. Also, the Father Roy Randolph Life, Right to Life Group will recite the Rosary at the Planned Parenthood at Glen Cove on Saturday, July 16th. That is this Saturday forthcoming. If you're able to join them, please do so after the Mass at 9:30 a.m. Also on Monday, August 29th, St. Pius V will have its 10th annual golf tournament. All proceeds do benefit St. Pius V School Building Fund. Please make your reservations. There are flyers in the vestibules. It is on Monday, August 29th. If you just want to come for the evening, we do have a casino evening and also a beautiful dinner. So if you'd like to come for that, that's also available in the flyers. The epistle appointed to be read for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and of sons heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. In the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused of him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I heard this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In these words of our Lord, we cannot possibly admit that our Lord intended to approve of the injustice or the treachery practiced by the unjust steward. He only praised the prudence of the unjust steward. And by this parable, he implies that he wishes us to imitate in spiritual matters the wisdom of the children of the world. And who are these children of the world? They are simply those who strive for and love the goods and pleasures of this life, and who hope to find in the things that they possess the highest aim of their existence, that is, their happiness. And who are the children of light? They are those who walk in the higher light shed upon their lives by the light of faith, and who, despising the sinful glitter and pleasure of this world, aspire after purer and nobler delights, of which they have a foretaste even in this life. We are such children, that is, the children of light. We have been redeemed from the bondage of sin and Satan, not by gold and not by silver, but by the very precious blood of the Immaculate Lamb of God. St. John, the beloved disciple of Christ, who knew and heard the longings of the Sacred Heart for the souls of men, tells us in no uncertain terms in his first epistle, he says, "Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world." And then he continues, "If any man love the world, the charity of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, and the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the concupiscence thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." But even in spite of these warnings of St. John, the children of the world have always outnumbered the children of light. Earthly goods and pleasures seem to always have more of an attraction to the human heart than the higher spiritual ones of the faith. Would that the children of light be as courageous for the acquisition of spiritual goods as their opponents are for the material goods. Consider the frankness with which the unjust steward states his difficult position today. He says, "What shall I do? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed." And then he says, "I know what I shall do." He makes no secret of his dishonest intentions because he's moved by one idea, and he must secure a comfortable living for himself, and every other ideal yields to this one. He is the perfect picture of a child of the world. All the children of the world know what they want. They want to possess and amass and enjoy the material goods of this life. That's their highest aim of their entire life. All their thoughts, all their efforts are centered on earthly goods, honors, and pleasures. And they stop at no means to help them attain that goal. The proud man thirsts for more honors. The avaricious man hungers after riches, does not hesitate at injustice or falsehood or any other means to acquire more riches. And the person addicted to luxury or the pleasures of the senses continually looks for the satisfaction of his lust. The children of the world have the maxim, "Man is born for the enjoyment of the goods of the things of this life." To them, earth is not a valley of tears, or so they think and so they say. They are well contented with the present life without any desire for the future life, which to them seems even just doubtful. If we, the children of light, would but understand and proclaim the principles of our faith and have our aim set as well as the children of this world, how rich we would become in heavenly goods. How many of those who should be the children of light either wholly deny the one aim of their lives, or they fluctuate. They fluctuate between heaven and earth. They hesitate between Christ and the world. They're like the Israelites at the time of Elias. Elias said to them, "If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal," that is the pagan deity at the time, "then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. They did not know what they wanted. They hesitated. They hesitated between the good God and the pagan deity. And so it is today. How can we as Catholics ever reach the aim of our entire existence, that is, the purpose for which we're created, if our last end is not constantly before our eyes, or if we do not use every lawful means that we can to attain that goal? Our divine Lord has not said to us, "Be rich and be satisfied upon earth and enjoy without care the pleasures of life." No, our Lord has said to us, "Be virtuous. Endeavor through the thorns of life as well as through the roses to approach always nearer to your eternal aim and gain the reward of your God and Maker." We must be able to say with the steward of the gospel today, "I know what I will do." And we must clearly and boldly proclaim our Catholic principles, both by word and by action, A truth proclaimed distinctly and known, defended by us, has a victorious power over the earth. It was the courage of the first confessors of the Catholic faith that gained the victory over the pagan falsehoods. Our ancestors in the faith knew what they wanted. And they knew that the true life of the children of light consists in disposing and giving up the goods of this life through a love of higher and supernatural goods. And although the heathens, the children of the world, call them fools, the doctrines and truths, when explained and understood, overcame the power of error and sin. And so too is it in our present day. When the pagan principles are publicly proclaimed, to proclaim as publicly and courageously our Catholic truths, and to give testimony of them by our lives. If only we would make the same efforts in serving God and saving our souls, what a success we would have in our lives. The children of the world accomplish so much by human powers. We who are the children of the light are supported by heavenly powers. But why is so little done? When it comes to the work of salvation, is it not true that we choose to do the easiest duties and follow the lightest of commands? We become faint-hearted at the least effort and shrink back from the simplest work for our salvation. If we used half the exertions of the children of the world for earthly gain, we truly will be saints, deserving the most glorious crown of heaven. The children of the world mostly surpass the children of light in prudence and circumspection. And that is what the unjust steward was commended for today, commended for his prudence. It is the prudence that is so necessary for us. The prudence of being in the world, but not of the world. Prudence in gaining our sanctification by turning away from the things of the world and clinging to the things of heaven. Unless prudence directs our understanding and governs our will in order to preserve us from the evils that threaten us on every side, even with the best intentions, we will never attain our high goal if we do not have prudence. My dear faithful, strive to be as wise as the children of the world when it concerns your eternal interest and your spiritual life. And in so doing, you will, with the use the worthless and illusionary things of the world, the things that perish. You can use them as payment, that is, to use them as sacrifices to purchase for yourselves the glorious and the unchanging riches of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.